A few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud
John Nemitz.
And David Lauer.
and this is the podcast where we talk about loves, hates, and indifferences. And but before we do any of that though, we got to get a little something out of the way with a deja vu, and I have not asked either of you if you have one in
Well,
the chamber.
I'll come through with you,
All right.
come through for you and with you.
By me.
It's Oscar season, and I have got the fever. I've watched every nominee for Best Picture this year, which I've never done before.
Holy shit.
And I've watched four out of the five animated Best Picture nominees. And Wednesday night I'll get to see the last one because it hasn't really been released anywhere, so I don't understand in what sense it came out in 2023, but I guess that's not for me to know.
Okay, well, what I haven't. I don't think I've seen any of the movies. But what do you think will win or should win?
Oh, I famously don't like
Oh,
ranking
yeah, that's
things, so I'm
right.
not going to say what I think should win, but I don't know. I feel like Oppenheimer is kind of what I'm hearing people think will be the winner, but I don't know. I don't think Barbie will get it. Yeah, just trying to think of all the movies from the list. Like, I don't know that any of them have like the same, like scope and excitement of Oppenheimer. Killers of the Flower Moon. I don't know. I just don't hear people talking about it as a winner necessarily.
Well, Dave, didn't you walk out of that movie?
I didn't. I lasted like 3 hours, but I couldn't do like the last 20 minutes. I was like, it's too much. It's past my bedtime.
You're like, I can't sit around and wait how this court case is going to turn out.
Well, it just, is there a court case near the end? Because I missed that
Yeah.
part. I didn't
You
see
didn't
that.
even make it to the court case. That's great.
Well, no, I was just watching Leo drug that girl for like an hour and 20 minutes straight, and I'm like, it's just the
Whoa.
same thing over and over for an hour straight, and I was like, this is
Were
boring.
you watching him frown as hard as a person has ever frowned in their life?
You
Can't even
know,
do
when you have a
it.
dip in your lower lip.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, well, like that kind of steered me away from that. But have you seen any other of the wait, you saw Oppenheimer though, Dave, didn't you?
Yeah, I liked Oppenheimer a lot. I don't know, the ending part was kind of confusing.
Oh, when it got to the court case and how all these
Yeah.
movies end.
Yeah. That part was super confusing until like the end, and then you understand everything. And I was like, I guess I have to watch it again, then maybe I'll understand it. But I kind of felt like it was like a classic, like Christopher Nolan, just like tell the audience like 80% so they kind of know what's going on, but they don't totally understand what's going on. And then you kind of just have to like figure it out. I don't know. It's kind of like watching Inception or something where you're like, okay, I'm getting 80% of the story. I guess the other 20% is not necessary.
Does Barbie have a court scene?
They have a Supreme Court.
That's good enough. Oh my gosh. That's pretty sweet. I guess. I don't know. I've never seen any of these fucking movies.
The Anatomy of a Fall is definitely like 90% court scene, and it's French court, so it's wacky.
Oh my gosh. Well,
Poor Things, I don't remember having anything in court, but could be wrong about that.
okay, well, I gotta say, oh, Lily Gladstone, she so I had to look this up because they're like, congratulations on being the first Native American nominee. I was like, hold on, but I was wrong. I was like,
What
no,
about
there's
that Italian guy?
I was like, there's been two Native Americans, but I was like, nominated Chief Dan George and Graham Greene, but they're Canadian. But I'm like, yeah, give it to them, cut them some slack, you know.
I
But I
mean,
was
that's
wrong.
a weird technicality because I think Native American stands for like North America,
Yeah,
not
yeah.
United States.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like Canada and the United States were geographically distinct historically.
But yeah, I'm kind of watching with interest for that. That's kind of cool. But then people are saying like Emma Stone, that you know, it's her best performance, so she might win it too. So it's kind of between those two. Yeah. I've got some interest in these Oscars. I always pay attention. I never really watch any of the movies they're talking about, but I'm familiar with a lot of actors and stuff. I'm like, hey, go Brendan Fraser when he won and stuff. Well, should we get the show started? I can start us off because it's been a while, I think. Let's talk about my love. I love going for a walk or going for a hike. Growing up, you know, we lived deep in the woods, so whenever I played, for the most part, I'd walk around, and you know, they weren't flat woods. There was like lots of hills and stuff, and when you run, you gotta watch your footing, but I was really good at it. But then specifically later on, when I was living in Chippewa, there was this awesome little trail. Like a lot, really hilly and stuff. You would never see anyone on it. So it was just this awesome little thing to like go out there. As soon as you hit half an hour, you turn back. But if you want to go for like 2 hours, you could easily do that. It was so nice and secluded. I just really like, again, not flat surfaces. Like that's boring. I get really bored really quickly. But if I can fucking, you know, kind of have to be nimble and stuff, that's cool. However, my ankles over the years have been quite terrible. And so it's just a little bit more riskier every time I do try and take a walk. So that's, I don't know, it's like, of course, irony in this world. The one thing you like to do, Vince, and we'll slowly take that away from you and shit because you're weak ass ankles. I have a treadmill though, and I'm going to be using it some more. It's very nice. It's wide. I have a wide gait, turns out. So that's really cool. I used that today just for the research. I'm like, how does this feel to walk again? So I did that.
Did you bring
And
your Swiffer handle with you on the
that's
treadmill?
right. No, I didn't. I used the Swiffer as a fake cane when I twisted my ankle last time. I would always grip the handle, even though it's bright fluorescent green. You could just tell what it is if you really pay attention, you know? But I would make sure to do a lot of sleight of hand, kind of relating to magic tricks later on, you know,
Whoa,
like
slow down, slow down.
the, And then finally, you know, they say like you get a runner's high. Well, I get a walker's high. Turns out with all the weed that I've smoked over the years, you know, it's stored in the fat. And when you're walking, the fat, it'll burn and then it'll release a little bit of THC for you while you're walking. So that's always been very pleasant. And I would always go with earphone, you know, earplugs in or earphones in listening to a podcast. And before podcasts came about, it was Wish You Were Here, listening to that. And then the first time I ever heard Spiders from Mars, Ziggy Stardust, was on headphones while taking a walk. And that was quite the experience. So, yeah, what do you guys think about it?
Yeah, I love it. And I also very similarly, I'm always like, yeah, listening to podcasts when I'm walking. And before that existed, we're always listening to music. Sometimes still switch it up and listen to music. Although I do, you know, like I do more city walking, which often means waiting for stoplights to turn and that kind of stuff. So it's definitely more enjoyable to be out in the woods. And then when I'm woods hiking, sometimes I just like to take in the natural sound and don't always have to have headphones in. But sometimes do anyway. Yeah, I will always be up for a walk anytime, anywhere, anyone.
I want a long walk over a short cliff. What about you, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I need to get back into it because I used to go on like runs and jogs where I'd like run like 2 miles or like jog 2 miles. And I would always wear headphones and like if I'm doing it for like exercise, then I like to listen to music. But if I'm kind of just doing it where I'm like not straining myself or doing it strenuously, then I like listening to podcasts. Yeah, I really enjoy like going to like state parks or national parks and like going on hikes and like trails that are like, miles long, not.
Oh no.
Oh my gosh. Your sound is out, Dave. It's probably that cat. Nope. Oh my gosh. No. Oh, real quick though, John, you hiked like through Machu Picchu or something, right?
Yeah, we there's this once you get up there, so you can do hardcore hiking and like hike across the country to get to Machu Picchu, but we didn't do that. But then once you get up there, there's like a couple different mountains you can hike up and get like amazing views and all that kind of stuff. That was pretty great.
Dave, got anything to say? Oh no, he's still
He
out.
doesn't.
Dave, you might want to go out and then just come back in. I think that might work. Or it might not. I don't know. Can't tell what he's saying with that face.
Yeah, you could type into the chat if you wanted
Oh yeah, if you wanted
to.
to. I can't hear you. Say something, Dave. Oh my gosh. Okay. Dave, just now, see, you're making the axe, but we can't hear you. So leave the Zoom and then come back. Oh gosh. Oh my gosh. I just
You guys hear
think
me now?
about, oh, there
Yes.
we go. Yes.
What'd you do?
Wow, Vince kept telling me, oh, just leave. Get out of here, Dave. Get out
And
the door.
don't ever come back.
Get out of here. Well, what'd you do? I think your cat did something, I'm guessing, right?
I may have swung my hand
Oh.
and tapped the microphone just that much, and then it disconnects.
Oh,
That's why I like
geez.
wearing my AirPods, but you said you don't like the audio when I do that, so.
Yes,
Now we
everything
can do
is my
audio.
fault.
Thanks, Vince.
I'm like, you're gonna get audio issues no matter what. All right.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, man. Wait, that can't. Okay, we're dropping it. Okay, anything else about walking and hiking? You were just getting to the good stuff, Dave.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I like going out in nature and doing that stuff, but there is like nature is dangerous. There's bears, so that's kind of scary.
It's true.
I don't know. I was in like Montana once and there was like a giant, I don't even know what, it was like a bighorn sheep or something, or like a ram. I don't even know what the hell this animal was, but like I was going on the trail and it was just coming straight at me and I'm all alone and this thing's coming at me and like I had bear spray on me, but I'm like, I don't want to just pepper spray an animal for fun. Like it's like it's just gonna piss it off and it might ram me. So the ram might ram me, but there's like a tree that's like maybe like 8 inches in diameter, and I'm just hugging the tree. I'm just gonna go in circles around the tree. And because like it's funny that like when we're walking on like trails and stuff in the woods, they're trails to us people, but to the animals, they're trails too. They're like, this is a super easy walk. We don't have to, trip over logs and stuff and rocks. So it was just walking on the trail and just was heading the opposite way. I just had to step out of the way and just let it go. And he didn't really care about me.
Oh shit.
I
That's
mean, I almost.
how I interact when I see someone else on the trail. I get so annoyed. I'm like, come on, bro. Everyone, like, they're not doing anything wrong, but I'm
What are
always
you
just like,
doing in this state-funded park?
I hate it when people, I'm wearing these actual headphones. They're big and chunky. Obviously, I am listening to something. And then they start talking, and I'm like, yeah. I act like Dave's connection. Right. Should we walk on to another topic?
Yes.
Whoever wants to go.
I'll go because I have something different than walking. It's driving. And not even driving, backseat driving. I hate backseat drivers. And what's interesting enough about this topic is I inspired myself because I realized that I'm a backseat driver and I do it to my wife all the time. And
Ew.
he's like, "Don't you hate when people do that to you?" I'm like, "Oh my God, I do hate it when people do that to me. And I'm doing it to you." So I kind of realize like the folly in my ways. And I'm like, I need to change because like I don't like anytime I always like to talk when like you're driving with someone. So then it's just like, "Oh, watch out for that car. They're crazy." Like, "Oh yeah, just go around them." And then, and it kind of just builds from like mentioning things that you see to like, "Oh, you should go there." When they're like the lights turn yellow, you're telling them to go, or you're just like, "Oh, just slow down. Why are you going so fast?" And just like, and then you just realize you're like, "Oh, I'm being really annoying right now. Like, I need to just shut my fucking mouth." So yeah, it's I really hate when people do that to me as well. It's everybody hates it, especially like when you're driving somewhere and you don't really know where you are. Say you're like in a different city or a different part of town, you don't know where you're going, and someone's like judging your driving. They're like, "Why are you going so slow?" Or "Get over there." Like, what are you doing? And it's like, if you're gonna talk right now, just give me directions. All right. Look at your phone, look at the map, tell me when to turn. Like, I get I'm not doing a good job, but I'm trying to multitask right now. If you could help me out, it'd be great. Yeah, so what are your guys' thoughts on backseat drivers? And are you a backseat driver yourself?
Go ahead, John.
I would say that I'm not. Like I think for a lot of people it's like a control thing, like they want to feel like they have some control in a situation where they don't have any. And like that's not really a thing I care about. In fact, I like not having control because then anything bad that happens isn't my fault. On the other hand, I do get very annoyed when people backseat drive me, and I have said, like, "Would you like me to pull over and you can do a much better job driving than I'm doing?"
Snippy.
So yeah, it's easy to hate. Although on the other hand, like the one in 20 times where the thing that the person mentions is something you actually didn't notice, then it's very nice that they pointed it out. But does that make it worth the other 19 times where they stated the obvious? I don't know.
I had to drive quite a bit these past couple months, and that GPS thing really helped. So, that's built to be a backseat driver,
Right,
right?
but even Dave said that a navigator is different from a backseat driver, right?
Right. But I don't know. Sometimes it repeats itself. It's like in whatever, you will turn right, and then you're getting there. You're almost there. Like in even closer, you will turn right. I'm like, yeah, I heard you. So it's not good. Poor GPS.
Actually, just thinking, like, I hate backseat driving so much that I don't even like navigating. Someone will be like, "What do I do at this intersection?" I'm like, "I don't know. You can go straight or you can turn right. Like, either way, I'll get you there." You choose. Like, just tell me which
You're
way
like, "I
to
have zero control
go."
over what you're gonna do.
Yeah,
Free will, you decide.
I could just imagine you guys are like sliding on ice, and John, you're just happy because you're not driving. You're like, yeah.
Not to blame for this one.
Yeah. Well, rolling down a hill. Oh, the ultimate driver, backseat drivers is Driver's Ed. Remember
Yeah.
that? I had a fortunately I had a night like there's a I don't remember her name anymore, but we never interacted. We didn't really talk much to each other, and we didn't like we barely exchanged anything. We were just kind of there. But of course, the actual teacher is telling you what to do, but it's sound advice, so there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think I'm a backseat driver myself because I worry that I would come off as annoying because you never know how people are, if they're going to appreciate your stuff or not. But I think I have a pretty good sense of direction if I've been there before. Oh my God, that doesn't make any sense. But yeah. Yeah, I really had not too much prepared for backseat drivers. I just know I try not to be one myself. Yeah. And I
Yeah.
like that this is I like that this is your hate, Dave. This is your first one. You're like, you know what? I looked within and I hate myself.
Maybe I should dig a little deeper here, you know? There's probably a lot more to uncover.
Plus, didn't you say your wife is the one that set you straight? She's like, you realize this is what you're doing and stuff?
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
the thing was is I never drink coffee, and I drink coffee, and then afterwards we're driving, and I'm like buzzing, and I'm just like, I'm talking and blah blah blah, and I'm all excited, and then I realized I was being a jackass, and I'm like, okay, no more coffee for Dave, just chill out.
You know, it was probably just that one incident, you know, don't let this eat you up inside, Dave. I don't remember you being much of a backseat driver when we drove around, so yeah.
Oh, it was all going on in my head. Like, I was thinking it the entire time. It's like, what are you doing? Get in that lane. Put your blinker on. Slow down. Speed up.
Oh
Oh,
man,
dear.
I just remember driving around with Jesse and then Ben. They would, if you like said like be careful, they would say like, oh, you're lestering me. And it'd be like, because it would always be like, be careful, lest I need to remind you what will happen.
Lestering me.
So that was always like when you're driving, like if you see someone like coming up by behind you fast and like, be careful, he's like, don't lester me.
What happened to you? I've been lested. All right. Should we change lanes? Go
Yes. Yeah.
do something on the
All
topic.
right. We got a love and a hate. I'll do my indifference. Ice and drinks. And a lot of times I have like indifferences that I'm like, these are indifferences to everyone, but people got opinions about stuff I've learned. And like, apparently, like people have like, oh, I like the kind of ice from like this restaurant that it's like, oh, I like chipped ice. Well, I like cubed ice, or I like crushed ice. I'm like, what are you even talking about? And for me personally, you know, I feel like, you know, growing up it was always like the cheapskate thing. It's like, oh, you're just giving me a drink and you're, you know, it's more ice than, you know, cola, and you know, it just waters it down anyway. But even now, like I'm not particularly a fan of like ice cold drinks or ice cold water anyway. Like I like something you can just drink quickly. If I'm having a glass of water, I just want to like, you know, chug the entire glass. I don't want it, you know, like hurting my sensitive teeth or, you know, catching in my throat or anything. So yeah, I guess I'm more on the not liking ice than liking it for sure. But are either of you big fans of you know, Arby's ice is better than McDonald's ice or anything like that?
Go ahead, Dave.
So yeah, every restaurant or gas station has like different styles of ice. You can go to Sonic and get like the crushed ice. Even like Quick Trip here in Oklahoma, they have crushed ice or like cubed ice. But like homemade ice is the best ice. I just want like a solid piece of ice. But like, because every restaurant and gas station, like all the ice cubes are so small that they melt really fast. And that's the problem, is if they melt really fast and it waters down your drink, and then that's one of like the biggest negative effects of ice, that in the fact that your volume of your drink, if you're getting a 30-ounce drink and they put, 16 ounces of ice in there, then you're only getting half the size. So, but I love ice in my drinks, but most restaurants and most gas stations, the ice is really thin. Ice machines are super dirty too. It's actually like super unsanitary because you get like mold growing in them and like mineral deposits, and it's like rusty on the inside of them. So they're all kind of super gross.
Oh yeah,
But
and
I
that,
just.
did you see that episode of The Office where they're at the hotel and Kevin, like his feet are sore, and he like climbs up on top of like the public ice machine and sticks his feet in them.
Oh my God. That's so disgusting.
Like to this day, like my wife and I, whenever we're at like a hotel, we always make sure the ice machine is not one that's like open from the top, or like that you can't stick anything in it. It has to be the kind where you push the button and
I'm glad
the
you
ice comes
told me
out.
about this because that's a super popular show and people are going to imitate it.
Yeah. Well, what about the I kind of like the alternatives to ice, which is like, remember those plastic cubes that you could stick in the freezer and then drop it in your wine because you're classy like that? But I like that. I like those mugs where like you could again stick it in the freezer and it's got like some sort of weird liquid in it. So it would be like a frosty mug and you could pour your stuff in there. That was cool.
I do like a frosty mug. I can't deny that one.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and then I haven't got to experience this ice yet, but those giant balls of ice that you put in like a liquor drink or something, I'm like, that looks really cool.
I've always wanted one of those. It's on my
Yeah.
bucket
Like a big hail ball or something.
list.
Looks pretty sweet.
Like,
What
I
about the
like, I was gonna say, I like.
novelty
plastic ice cubes with like a fly in it, like a fake
Oh.
fly.
I like the Yeti cups and like Stanley cups, like the super insulated cups where you can put ice in it. Like I'll put ice in it like from my refrigerator, fill it up with like water, and then after even like 10 hours later, there's still ice in my cup. I love that. But sometimes like I don't dislike room temperature water. Like I have like a bottle of water. It can be room temperature. I'll drink it. Like I don't care. I'm not super picky, but I do like having ice water. It's just like a, especially like in Oklahoma when it's like really hot out. Like if it's just like a regular temperature day, it's not a big deal. But if it's hot outside, you've been outside like mowing the yard or something, it's really nice to have some ice water.
Yeah, I was gonna say that the iced tea, I gotta have ice on that. I'm always like burning kind of hot. I've always been really kind of hot blooded. Not like attitude wise where I'm like, I don't want to fucking fight everybody, but I'm just like physically really warm all the time. So I do like to have cold water over room temperature. Just to throw some on the engines, you know, or the engines, and which is burning quite hot. But yeah, I haven't really been paying attention to the different ice. Yeah, I haven't noticed any difference in tastes, thankfully. But yeah. Should we thaw out? Oh God, these are terrible. Horrible. All right, well, I'll go. I believe I'm next. Let's talk about my indifference to magic. tricks. I originally sent you guys magic, but I actually believe in magic. And these guys, these magicians are showing up and just reminding you that it doesn't exist just by showing you these tricks. Because I don't know. I'm sure I've been wowed by stuff, but I've also been like, oh, I know how you did that, you know? Or I don't know, you a magician really has to either be funny to grab my attention or something. They gotta have something there. Otherwise, I kind of get, I don't know, kind of bored by magic. I remember back in the day, I was a kid and we went to one of my dad's friends and he was just like, hey kids, look, here's a bottle, a glass bottle, and here's a coin. He goes like that and it's in the bottle, and we're like, whoa. And they're like, he's like, how'd that happen? The quarter's too big for the thing, because we were all kind of like telling him like, oh, this is how it happened, but we couldn't think of it. I just remember him smiling, and I'm sure he was proud of himself, and we were all in awe and stuff. But really, I've seen this debunked or whatever. There's like a little coin slot in the glass, but he makes sure that, you know, sleight of hand, while he covers up that slot every time. He knows how to turn it just so you're never really seeing the coin, because we're all kind of surrounding him. But yeah, it's just like, you're being tricked. I don't when I hear magic trick, the emphasis is on trick. The whole sleight of hand thing, where you're like, I'm being manipulated right now, you know? And like the whole like, oh, my lovely assistant. I'm like, oh, she's just eye candy. You're falling for it by checking her out because she's hot. Meanwhile, he's gonna do something, you know? I don't know what it is. I think I should enjoy it, but I've enjoyed Penn and Teller because they specifically say magic doesn't exist. These are tricks. And those are fascinating. And again, they're funny. So I like them. Oddly enough, one of my favorite movies is The Prestige by Christopher Nolan, and that's dueling magicians. And right away, they're like, you know how we make that bird disappear? We don't, we kill it. You're like, what the fuck? So that's always pretty upsetting. I have to mention that when I was a kid, for my siblings, I was like, hey guys, I'm gonna take this bead and I'm gonna put it in my ear and it's gonna come out of my mouth. And they're like, yeah, right, you know, fuck off. There's no way you could do that. They didn't say that, but I'm like,
Go
okay,
to
so
hell. We hate you.
yeah. Like, oh God.
Never come back.
Yeah. So I put the bead in my ear, and then I actually had the bead in, you know, under my tongue or whatever. So I took it out, and they're like, oh, wow, cool. And I left quickly, took the bead out, you know.
And the bead
And
is still in your ear to this very day.
no, but that's the thing. I took out the bead, right? Years later, one of my, you know, the sibling who watched me do that when she was so tiny, years later, they're like, oh, she had to go to the hospital. We found a bead in your ear. Because she tried to do what her older brother just did. But
That's
yeah.
why you're indifferent to being an older sibling.
That's so guilty. I feel so guilty. Oh my gosh. And I think that's it. I have some other stuff, but I'm curious what you guys think about magic tricks. Tricks.
Illusion.
Yeah.
I'm usually like impressed when I see it, but I don't seek it out. Like, I was at a I had to go to a conference for work in Vegas last year or the year before, and one of my coworkers who I was meeting there was like, oh, we should go to this magic show. It's this guy, he was on America's Got Talent or whatever. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever, I'll do it. And like it was like close up, like card trick type stuff. And like, I don't follow magic, so like everything seemed equally baffling to me. Like, I didn't know, like, if, oh, this is the trick everyone can do, it's not that impressive, or holy shit, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Like, it was all the same to me. But one thing that did interest me more was the opening act was like one of those mentalist people where In theory, they like just by the way they talk to you and like the phrases they use, and if like they, I don't know, like hand signs or just things they like draw to your attention, like pictures they have you look at and stuff, that they can get kind of lead you to say certain things. So like they'll like write down a number or something and they'll like talk to the person, and then a couple minutes in they'll say like pick a number and it'll be the number that they wrote down at the beginning. Like that stuff, I don't know what to think about it, because like it could all just easily be explained by like, oh yeah, we had a plant in the audience, which is just super boring, and like it makes me not even want to put effort into figuring out like if what they're doing is actually like a skill, like if you truly can like manipulate people like that to say what you want them to say, or if it's just completely fake. I don't know, but
I
I
feel
feel
like
like
the mentalists are like, I feel like they're like the modern day version of like, remember like the televangelists who are like preachers and they would have like an earpiece in their ear and like their wife was backstage and be like, this lady's, she's 51 years old. Her name is Thelma and she has thyroid cancer. And then, he's like, oh, I can, and then he's up there and he's like, I'm gonna cure you of this, and then she falls over. And it was like there was someone talking in their ear the whole time. I feel that's what like a mentalist kind of is, where they're getting fed information.
Yeah.
But are they also wanting to believe in the mental powers that they're willing to go with it, to be part of it,
Oh,
I mean,
interesting.
that's a whole other thing, like stage hypnotism. Like, is that real?
Right.
Like I when I my freshman year of college, like early on, like one of the like welcome the new students thing, they had like a hypnotist come in. And like I actually got up on stage and they're like saying all this stuff, like, you're feeling this way and this is happening. And I'm just like sitting there like, no, nothing's happening. And like everyone around me, like just heads are dropping, like everybody's just like zoning out. And I'm like, are you, is everybody except for me faking this? Like, are they that suggestible, or like is, yeah, I don't know what to think about that either.
Holy shit. Dave, have you seen magic in person?
No, I don't think I've ever seen it in person. Like, I've seen people do card tricks, and card tricks are just super lame. Like, there's nothing exciting about a card trick. It's like, there's either like, you have a special deck that's rigged, or there's sleight of hand or something where you're taking a card and we think that you put it in the middle of the deck, but you actually put it on the bottom or the top, or you're kind of holding the deck in a way where you know exactly where that card is, and then you pull it out at the end, or there's like some weird counting involved with it. There's just like a million ways to make, like with like the internet, you can see how they do all these card tricks. You can look it up, because like, when I was in my early 20s, I was really interested in like how they did a lot of stuff. And I feel like I've watched enough videos, because like, you remember like Criss Angel and David Blaine? They're
Yeah.
like, I like watching some of their stuff. I think it's interesting and it's cool. Like, I don't love it, but there's times where I've watched it and I've kind of enjoyed it. But after a certain point, it's like watching pro wrestling, where you're like, it's obviously fake. I know I'm just, none of this is real, so it's like, why am I even watching it? Like, once you've watched a little bit, you're like, okay, I'm good now. I don't need to see anymore.
Yeah, TV magic stuff is the worst, where they can just be like, okay, audience, pretend something exciting just happened, and everybody just like gasps and like whoa, and then like the clearly like they just have like changed the angle of the camera or something, so they're not showing you a thing that disappeared or something, like when he made the Statue of Liberty disappear, or that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah, there was a Cracked article where they're like, how did he make it disappear? But I never read it, so I don't know what he did. But it was all on TV, right? Like,
Yeah.
yeah. Huh. Yeah. Oh,
I
speaking
feel like
of
I watched it and it was just like an hour of commercials, and then
Yeah,
for like 20 seconds at the end, where I'm like, it's dark outside anyways. It's like they could have just turned off the lights that were shining on the TV.
that
known any different.
Holy shit. And then all the immigrants were like, well, I guess we're not welcome anymore. So they took turned right around. Oh, I remember David Copperfield was, he had this TV special and he's like, okay, so you guys at watching at home, come touch the TV screen. There's like four things here with images and I will, figure out what you press. So my family, they're all watching it. They're like, Vince, go up there. You know how to count because I was like the oldest at that point. So I'm like, okay, And I did exactly what he told me to do. And then he's like, so that means that you chose this card and it wasn't that card. So I, again, at my age, I'm like, wait a minute. It was a bunch of bullshit. So I don't know. And but imagine all the kids that just happened to pick that card and they're like, oh, they felt so fucking special. I didn't feel that way. Never have, never will.
And to this day, you're
Yeah.
indifferent to magic.
Copperfield.
Why did you make the counting so hard?
Oh gosh. Oh, I don't when David Blaine is like, I'm gonna be in a block of ice for like 48 hours straight. I'm like, that's not fucking magic. Fuck you.
Yeah, it's just endurance.
Yeah, exactly. All right, should we pull a rabbit or pull a topic out of our hat?
Put the rabbit back in the
Yeah,
hat.
put back there. Whoever wants to go.
Dave.
I am. What am I indifferent to?
You really don't know. Look at him.
Have no
Mispronouncing
idea.
names.
Okay. Mispronounced names. So I like this really bugs me. Like, I see, like, I work in the medical field, so you always have like different patients with like different names that are very hard to pronounce. And people get super offended if you, it's so this is like two different things. If you mispronounce their name, they're upset. Or if you call them by the wrong name. Like, say their first name is Thomas and their middle name is George. And they're like, I go by George. And it's like, what? It says your name is Thomas, so I'm gonna say Thomas. Like, don't get mad at me. Like, you could have, like, you're 60 years old. You could have gone to the courthouse and changed your name anytime, but you never did. So, like, people get upset about being called like the wrong name. Or if you just mispronounce their last name, like, my last name is Lauer, Lauer. There's three vowels in a row. So, like, I understand that people aren't going to be able to get it right a lot of the time. And like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter to me. So like, why does it matter to other people? Like, I went to the shoe store and they didn't have the right size. So they're like, we can order this in the right size. I'm like, okay. And they're like, what's your name? I'm like, David Lauer. And he's like, David Lower, Lower. I'm like, sure. Okay. And then we went to pick him up a couple of, like a week later. And they're like, what's the name of the order? I'm like, David Lauer. And he's like, David Louder, Lauder. And I'm like, sure, whatever. I don't care. Just anytime I say my name, they always think it's something different. I'm like, and I don't care. I just think it's funny. I'm not gonna waste my breath trying to tell someone the right way to say my name. Like, if I was being introduced to like a crowd of people or something, then yes, pronounce my name right. But if it's just in like a situation where it doesn't matter and it like, then why do you care?
No, what do you
You
think,
know, like if
John?
you're at Starbucks or something and they write your name wrong or they say your name wrong, like who cares? It's no biggie.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I told a story in the early days of the podcast how I literally pronounce my last name different from how my parents do. Because I just decided early on, I don't want to like correct every person I meet going forward on how to pronounce my last name. So,
So how do they say it? How do you say
they say Nametz and I say Nemitz.
I believe you're correct because there's like a submarine or an aircraft carrier
Well, that's
that's
Nimitz with an I.
same thing to me.
No, it's completely different, Dav. But yeah, like I guess I've met a lot of people who are very particular, like, and like where it's especially problematic is like people with names that are spelled like a way you would normally pronounce it, but then they pronounce it differently and they get mad when you pronounce it the way that like 90% of the people with that name pronounce it. So like Ian versus Ian, I've seen, or like Kirsten and Kirsten, like that kind of thing.
Kara or Kara.
Yeah.
Well, that Kirsten and Kirsten, that's a difference, right? Like that's two totally different names, like Kirstie Alley, right?
Right, but the Kirsten or Kirsten, which is different from Kristen, which is a different spelling.
Yeah. Well, I'm coming at it by just I mispronounce a lot of words anyways. Like for example, if I don't think about it, I pronounce room as rum. Like I'm going in my room, you know. It wasn't until someone was like, "You keep saying rum all the time. Are you going to drink? What the
Down
fucking horrible alcoholic."
the spice rum.
Yeah. Yes. And like even my own sister, her name is Hinu, but I pronounce it Hino. I always have. I didn't realize it for a long time, but like it's hard not to just pronounce it like that because I've been doing it for fucking years. And also, let's see here. Oh, on the challenge, there's a guy named Darrell, but his who's a black man, and his white friend Derek pronounces it Daryl, and it's just like two completely different fucking names, and I just feel like Darrell just tolerates it because Derek's like, "Oh, that's our thing. I pronounce it this way." But to me, it's like, you know, I'm sure Darrell's like, "Oh God, he thinks it's special that he's mispronouncing my name." So does every other person who are like, Daryl? Oh, that's our thing. I mispronounced your name." You know?
Oh, that reminds me, I had a roommate named Dylan, and then when that Dave Chappelle sketch came out, people started calling him Dylon, and he hated it, especially because his name wasn't even spelled that way. His name was spelled Dillon, not like Dylan. But yeah.
There was a, I had a coworker, her name was Laykin, Laykin, but people would always say Lincoln. And she was, you know, she was nice. I actually brought her up before. She was the quiet talker, like, "Yeah, like, yeah." And she, I remember one day she seemed upset. I'm like, "What's the matter?" She's like, "Motherfuckers keep calling me, you know what I mean?" Like she was really mad, and she's such a small, little, delicate person. She was like, "Meh," you know. So yeah, she just completely hates it. But fortunately, you know, Cloud is clearly Cloud. And Vince, actually, I grew up for the longest time hating having to say my name because again, I kind of mumble, I mispronounce words myself, so. They're like, "What's your name?" I'm like, "Vince." And they're like, "What? Prince?" Or, you know, like it's always something. It's not Vince. So it's maybe it's my fault. And Vincent is just a big mouthful for me. You know, it's such an odd name. I like it because it is unusual. It's not fucking John or fucking Dave. You know what I mean?
Oh, gross.
Or Dove. But like me pronouncing my name is always met with annoying interactions.
I have the same thing. Like, if I say my name is Dave, then people hear Nate or Jake. Like, Jake? Nate? I said Dave. Or if I say David, they're like, Jason? I'm like, no, David. Like, what? How did you get Jason out of that? Like, I don't know.
Actually, yeah, my wife's name is Rochelle, and everyone hears Michelle when she says her name.
I
So,
thought
like,
it. I thought it was Rochelle, not Rochelle.
It's ROCH.
But I mean, like, I don't pronounce it Ro. I say
Well, yeah,
Ra.
but like, so if I'm just talking to her casually, it'll be like Rochelle. But when I introduce her, I'll be like, this is Rochelle, just like, so it's very clearly like not Michelle. Because Rochelle
Oh.
and Michelle sound very similar when you just say them.
Does she get bothered that, like, because I'm pretty sure I called her Rochelle, not Rochelle.
No.
She doesn't care.
No.
She's already
She's.
been beaten by life
Yeah,
so many times.
exactly. Yeah. One thing that does bother me a little bit though is like, so I work for, like an international company, and sometimes like management will give out awards to people who like, oh, you did a great job this quarter or whatever. And then like when they're giving an award to someone and then they can't, like they have no idea how to pronounce their name, like, dude, you're like giving out five awards. Reach out to those people's managers and say, how do you pronounce their name so that you can do it on the day? What makes you feel less valued than like you're supposed to be like being honored, and then like they didn't even bother to figure out how to say your name.
Oh, Dave. Okay, so you mentioned before about, you have to deal with patients and different names and stuff. I remember we were watching the UFC where there's a Jose Aldo. And I remember we were all like, "It's Jose, you fucking idiots." But they were and they even interviewed him. He's like, "No, it's Jose." And we're like, "Wow, interesting. Finally we get it right." But then you were like, "I was working and I see on the paper," and you're like, "Jose?" And he's like, "No, it's Jose."
Yeah. I really thought I was getting it right. So I'm like, oh, it's like Jose Aldo. Jose. It's like Jose. Oh, shit. Just can't win them sometimes.
Great. All right, should
Let's
we,
change the name of the topic.
yes. Oh, excellent. I don't know why I do the segues. I'm so bad at them. Who's next?
That would be me. I will go to my hate, which is time and date math when you're programming. And what I'm talking about is like, let's say like something happened at a time and you need to know like, oh, well, how long ago did that happen? Sounds simple, right? 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Well, it's not that simple. In fact, within, 2 weeks before and after today, we have like two different weird events. We have a leap day. So like this year has like a different number of days. But then it's not even like every 4 years. It's like, oh, every 4 years except for years that are like hundreds, like 1900, 1800 or whatever. Oh wait, but 2000 is special because it's like divisible by 400. So there's so then you do get a leap day. In a couple weeks, or I don't know, is it this weekend? Whatever, the daylight savings switch. So like, let's say you're writing out a log file, and stuff happens every minute. So then you're tracking the logs, and it's like, okay, this happened at 1:45, and then this other thing happened at 1:58, and then this next thing happened at 1:02. Like it just gets like really confusing, like how, like when you're trying to just track down like the chain of events, because you're either repeating an hour or you're skipping an hour, which is skipping an hour is easier to deal with, obviously, because you're not repeating times. Just all the different formats you can write times and dates in. So you know, what's today? The March 5th. So this could be in the US we say it's 3/5. In Europe they say it's 5/3. If you want stuff to like sort nicely on a computer, you would do 2024 0305. Like do the year first, because that's like the longest period of time, then the month, then the day, so that, you know, when you just want to sort everything, it works out nicely. But yeah, you might come across a log file that has the word, you know, March in it, and then you have to like convert that to a number. There's a list I found on the internet. It's a falsehoods programmers believe about time. There's stuff like that. There is always 24 hours in a day. February is always 28 days long. Like that stuff we already talked about. You know, the smallest unit of time is 1 second. Well, no, you can look at milliseconds or, you know, even smaller times than that. The way like that, like a Linux or a Unix computer does a timestamp is they just take January 1st as being, or sorry, January 1st, 1970 as being the beginning of time. And then the timestamp is just how many seconds have elapsed since January 1st, 1970. Just arbitrarily. So like, you know, it gets confusing if you want to look at anything earlier in time than that. Yeah, there's just like a million different things that make it complicated. You know, like time zones, you know, like if you're trying to track like, oh, this incident occurred, but you know, the person making the connection was in Eastern time and the server they were connecting to was in Pacific time, and then to keep straight, like what happened first and what happened when and all that stuff. Like it's all just a nightmare.
Overwhelming and not like I don't even want to try and think about it. I first of all, I hate math, you know, and I'll probably never have to program ever again. Well, I never got to do it in the first place, but so yeah, I'm kind of finding it hard to relate to you at all, John, for this topic. Yeah, you're just spouting numbers and dates. I'm like, okay, oh God. But Dave, didn't you originally was going to have an indifference to leap years, right? Like you kind of understand a little bit or something.
Well, like my thing, it was like I saw some kind of video on the internet, and they were talking about how I think it's like the Gregorian calendar, the calendar that we use, is just like wrong, and they screwed this up like however many thousands of years ago, and we've just been doing everything wrong. Like if every month was 28 days and we had 13 months, then we wouldn't have to have leap years or something like that, and everything would just be 28 days every month. We would have there's like an extra month that got deleted somewhere that was supposed to be like between September and October or something. I don't remember.
Oh.
But it was very interesting, and it was because it was just like, yeah, like January's 31 days, and then February's 28 or 29, and then March is 31, and then April's 30, and then it flip-flops, and just
Yeah,
a lot
so
of.
Dave, the thing you're talking about, yeah, like if you had 13 months, 28 days each, that multiplies out to 364 days. So then I think the solution to that was they would just have like a year day or something like that, where like at the end of the year, you would just have a day that's like, oh, this te technically isn't part of a month or whatever. It's just like, you
Just
know,
make it
you
a
get,
national holiday. No one
yeah,
work.
yeah, you get a
Time
bonus
doesn't
day.
exist.
Isn't there quite a bit of cultures that have 13 months in their year?
That's possible. Yeah, is that how lunar calendars work, actually? I don't know much about that, actually.
I don't know. But okay, so when you are programming, John, and you're just like, you know, you're going through it, you're like, oh, this is easy. And then you start to dread the fucking time. Is it like the worst part about programming is this?
You know, like the nice thing is that like a lot of people have put a lot of thought into it, so there's like libraries that exist, and you just say like, all right, the time now is, you know, 11:03, blah blah blah. I need, you know, this thing happened on January 4th at 12:01. You just tell the library, tell me how much time passed in between these, and it does the work for you. And they account for leap years and leap seconds and all that stuff. But the problem is, like, every language has a different time and date library. So, just because you've learned how to do it in one, you still have to figure out how to interact it with it in another one. Or one language might have five different ones that all have their own limitations. So, you just figure out how to do something in one, like, oh, it doesn't support this one thing that I need.
Whoa. But wait, John, didn't you we were just talking about how you have many different disciplines. I thought you were beyond programming at this point. You're like, eh, or were you feeling nostalgic?
Well, I mean, for example, this creating an RSS feed for a podcast, one of the fields in it is the publish date, and they want it in a very weird format. They want like the letters of the month and then the date, and I don't remember exactly, but yeah, so you have to take it in like a more reasonable format and then convert it to what they're expecting it to be for it to work.
Wow. We usually don't do this here at A Few Golden Lock Bears, but I want to push the other product, man. Go
Yeah,
to, is it ready? Can I pitch it now?
go
Or
for it.
yeah, go to mymovierecollection.com for all your movie needs. That's where we talk about movies really quickly and randomly. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we'll also be adding it to like the iTunes podcast library and Google Podcasts and other ones that I can find.
All right. Well, anything else? We got to talk about this time and date, or should we go forward in time? Is it me? Is it I? Oh my God, my hate. So I have a very limited encounter with my hate, which is customer service. I always felt proud of myself for some reason. Not that I look down on people that have worked at a restaurant or a fast food joint. I just never wanted to myself. That was just always something where I'm like, I'll never do that. That's my one line in this world. That and only that. But I did have to work at a hotel at the front desk overnight. And so I got to experience some customer service like things where it's like, people really enjoy having just a little bit of power over someone. They love that they could be like, oh, can you do this? Or more like, you have to do this. Otherwise, you're not doing your job. So they could just kind of give you all these orders, or they could be shitty to you and you just have to like smile, like, well, enjoy your stay, sir. Shit like that. And again, I'm sure not all customer service is like that, but I just found that yeah, just all the disrespect that you could put on someone. And again, that hotel is pretty bad. Like it gets brought up in Eau Claire every couple years, but like, we should really just tear this fucker down. Like, it's a hive of scum and villainy, So maybe I was dealing with probably the worst customer service, but it was pretty bad. Like, pranks on me and shit. It's just really shitty. And I've seen other customer service jobs blow, like being a waiter and stuff. And what do they say? It's like you could judge a person by how they treat waiters and people that have to work for you, right? It's not the thing. So yeah, it's kind of shocking how people can turn. They're talking, being nice to their family, then they go up to you and they're like, yeah, you have to do this, and blah blah blah. It's just, I don't ever want to do customer service ever again. So hopefully I never will. What do you guys think?
That type of customer service, my only experience was working at the grocery store. Had to, bag people's groceries and help them take it out to their car and stuff. And that was fine, other than, like people have specific ways they like to get stuff bagged, even beyond just like the basics, like, oh, don't put bread and eggs on the bottom of the bag, and the common sense kind of stuff. And then my first job out of college was doing technical support. But it was for like the software that businesses would buy. So it wasn't like, your grandma calling up and getting technical support. It was more like, I'm the IT guy for a company and I'm having problems with the software, so I'm calling their technical support. Most of the people who called in were reasonable. There were definitely some who just got super angry and like very rude and that kind of stuff. But for the most part, it was like one professional dealing with another professional. So it was usually civil, even when the problems were annoying. But that being said, I don't miss that job at all and would not want to go back to something like that. Like, you just kind of dread answering the phone because you never know what the person's going to be like when you pick it up and that kind of thing.
What do you think, Dave?
I feel like I've always worked customer service jobs my entire life. Like, I've worked at McDonald's, I've worked at Walmart, Target. I work in healthcare now, so I deal with patients every day. So that's patients are customers. That's how the hospital views it. They're just paying customers. They gotta pay a lot of money.
Did
But
you say
like,
paying customers?
no.
Well, yeah, they're all in pain. I don't know, like, I'm kind of indifferent to it. Like, it's just like I'm over it. It like doesn't mean anything to me because like people are always assholes. They're nothing is ever good enough. It depends on certain people's personalities. Cause you have nice people and they're civil and they're just, they just know you're there to do a job. And then there's other people who like they feel like they're in a position of power over you. And they want to boss you around. They want to make you do shit that you don't want to do. And they just want to push you as far as they can. And like, there's different ways to deal with it. Like, and it really depends on like what part of my shift I'm in. If I'm at the beginning of my shift, I'm usually pretty tolerant because I just got there, I'm starting my day. By the end of my shift, I'm not tolerant anymore. So like if you are like being rude to me in any way, that's fine. I'm done talking to you. I'm gonna do my job. I'm not gonna chit chat. I'm not gonna say anything nice to you. I'm just gonna tell you the pertinent information and then that's it. Like it's like you like when we started this interaction, it was like we started off on a good foot and I'm gonna treat you respectfully, but then once you disrespect me, that's it. Like then I'm not being nice to you anymore. But with like traditional like fast food and stuff like that, and like being at like a cashier at like Walmart or Target, a lot of people, it's really just like a class thing, I feel like. They feel like people who are working those lower jobs, lower paying jobs, that they're better than them because, they work a job where they get paid $3 or $4 more an hour, and it's like doesn't really make you any better. It's, I think it's good for everybody to work a job like that so they know what it's like on that side, because there's a lot of people who didn't have to work a job in high school. They didn't have to work a job during college. They just, their parents paid for everything and then they got their job after going to university. And then I think those are the assholes, that show up to get coffee or go to a restaurant and they treat their waiter and waitress like shit because I don't know, they have no perspective on life because they've never like had to work those jobs and like kind of scrape by.
The f weird thing that I experienced, because I want to try and be a nice customer, because again, I was on the other side, but then you'll run into workers that are the assholes. They're like, hey, what do you want? And I'm like, oh, I just want to buy these. Is that it? And I'm like, yeah. Have a nice day. You're just like, you could just hear the contempt and just like, oh, motherfucker, like just so fucking pissed,
Job
you
would be
know.
great if it wasn't for the fucking customers.
You know, and you try and be like, you don't want to do like, oh, working hard or hardly working. Oh, like you're gonna get shot if they got a fucking gun. But some people are just so cantankerous, you know, like you want to be, you know, I don't want to try and strike up a conversation with them because who knows? Maybe they just like, I really don't need this, bro, you know? But okay, so this is a super weird thing. I knew this girl who she was a waitress for fucking ever during college. And you would never guess it by the way she treats other waiters and waitresses. She gets so snippy and short with them and just condescending. You're like, what? You are, that's one of your people. Like, holy shit. Fucking bizarre, man.
Well, there is kind of the thing too, when you've had a job and you see them doing it poorly and you know like you would be doing it better, like, oh, I would have I would have already asked you if you wanted a refill, or I would have already, been over and taken your order. And like I can see how you're more like critical of the service you're getting.
Okay.
I am critical of people not doing their job properly because I was always good at everything I did. I did it right. However, if somebody is like has a poor attitude and they're not friendly, I don't care. Like, you don't have to be friendly. Like, I get it. You're having a shitty day at work. Somebody else was probably an asshole to you. You're tired. You're over it and you don't want to put in the effort to put on like that fake smile. I get it. That's fine. Like, I don't expect you to be nice. Like, I do expect my drink to be refilled though. Like, come on.
Chop chop. Come on. Oh, okay. So I worked at a, what was it, where they call you with for help? Not a telemarketing, but something similar, right? Basically for a cable company. So they would call up with complaints all the time. That was the whole point. You got to help them with their problems. But it was kind of cool though, because they were from the East Coast, so they had that fucking accent, you know, kind of Boston and shit like that. So they would be complaining, and it was so much fun because I tend to like to do voices. So they're just like, fucking, you know, my car broke down in the mosh and I'm being overcharged, you know, and they're just so pissed off. And eventually I had to change up my voice because I felt like I'm coming off very non-Eastern, East Coast, you know, or I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, sir, you know, and shit like that. So I finally decided to be like, well, give me a numbers. Like, you know, I just started to do their accent back. They completely calmed down. I could have swore I swore once too. I'm like, just give me a fucking numbers, you know, like that. But like, it just worked like a charm. So that kind of helped. Just because of the dialect or the accent, that just kind of helped me get through that job a little bit.
Like, you want to talk to my manager? Hang on, Frankie, get over here.
What are you, a cop? Oh, that was so much fun. All right, should we ask for the manager and say our topic is dumb? Let's go to another one. Whoever's up.
I have my love. I love The Legend of Zelda. It's a video game
Fuck yeah.
series. Hell yeah. Legend of Zelda is so cool to me because like I grew up with it. When I was 5 years old, I played The Legend of Zelda on the regular Nintendo, the NES. It was the best game, I think, to this day. I think it's the best game for the regular Nintendo. It holds up the best. And then there's just been a sequel on Super Nintendo, A Link to the Past. There was a second one on NES, but we don't talk about that game. There's on Super Nintendo, there's Link to the Past, Nintendo 64, might be my all-time favorite because of Ocarina of Time, which I love that game. And then Majora's Mask, which is an awesome sequel. It's a little weird and goofy. There's like time constraints to that game, so it's the critics are a little more harsh on that game, but it's still a great game. And then, there's Nintendo Wii, Wii U, and there's GameCube. So there's like Wind Waker, Twilight Princess, Skyward Sword. There's a bunch of like Game Boy games that are Legend of Zelda. And then like the most recent ones with Nintendo Switch are Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. I've beaten Breath of the Wild. I've just started Tears of the Kingdom, so I haven't played through it all yet. But I've like with Zelda games, I love them so much. Like I kind of just like hold on to it. Like I don't want to play all the way through it because I know there might not be another new Zelda game for like another like 4 or 5 years. So like I'm just gonna take my time with this one and play it little by little. But like some of the Zelda games, they're I think it's awesome to me that I grew up with it and I loved it. But I always thought that at some point it would just be stuck in the past and people would forget about it. But with these like new games, they're super popular on the Nintendo Switch. And like it was Halloween and there's little kids running around as Link and Princess Zelda. And I'm like, whoa, kids today know what Zelda is. That's awesome. And like I've seen like people like playing a Nintendo Switch and I'm like, what are you playing? And they're like, Breath of the Wild. And I'm like, I have that game. It's awesome. It's so much fun. Yeah, I don't know. I have tons of memories playing Legend of Zelda games. There's like lots of different parts of them that are cool. Like the stories are always unique. It's like non-linear storytelling if you go from like one game to the next because they don't always match up. So, and like there's artwork that's really awesome with the Legend of Zelda series, like fan art. There's really cool music in the games. I don't know, there's different like remakes that they've made, and like with the Nintendo Switch, you can go back and play the original on the regular Nintendo or the Super Nintendo or the N64 games. So it's like great for me because I can like on my Nintendo Switch, I can play the newer games, I can play the older games that I love. So yeah, it's just have you guys ever played Legends of Zelda? Which ones are your favorites?
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I've played every single one and own all of them. Like both like all the Game Boy ones, all the Game Boy Advance, the DS. Like I love that entire series. I would maybe say that the Super Nintendo one, A Link to the Past, is maybe just my favorite video game, like of all systems. Like it's definitely the one that I've just played the most times and just love the gameplay, just how it works and everything. It's just like the exploration and all that. I had an NES growing up, and the original Legend of Zelda was one of the early games we got. Remember we were at like Walmart or something and we were looking like what for what game to buy next, and the guy at the store recommended it, and you know, it changed my life. The original Game Boy one, Link's Awakening, like I just remember just all that was always in my Game Boy, and like going on road trips, just playing that game over and over again, and every time where I could have been talking to my family, I was instead had my nose in the Game Boy.
Oh God. Well, I've never played this game. It looks interesting. I was never really much of a video game player. I remember I was at this party and it was Smash Brothers, Super Smash Bros, right? And someone picked Link and I foolishly was like, "Oh, you're playing as Zelda,
Ooh, rookie move right there.
Yeah, it's a big no-no. You might as well go to a hockey game and or TV. They're like, why can't they make the disc visible? Like, make it glow or something. Like, there's just a certain faux pas you just don't do. And I did that with Link. So it's like open world, almost all of it, right? Is there like a lot of memory involved? Like, oh, I was over here. How do I get back?
Absolutely.
Yeah, like every game is a little bit different. So there's like the two-dimensional games where you're like looking down on your character, like for the regular Nintendo and Game Boy games and Super Nintendo games. And then ever since like the N64, there's a lot of three-dimensional like open worlds. But yeah, like you start off in one spot, and then there's usually some story. There's always story elements to the game that are interesting. And then you're kind of just off on your adventure, and then you gotta, collect items and money, and just kind of search around for stuff, and then eventually you'll talk to people. You talk to a lot of people, and then you kind of find your way along. Some of the games can be really difficult because you can just not know where to go, and you'll get lost. I've many times I've had to go like online or like back in the day for the Nintendo 64, I have to get like the game guide, like to like figure out like okay, there's because you want to get like all the heart pieces because then you have more life and it makes the game easier. So then, you got to look up where everything is. So they're helpful to have. And now you can just search everything on the internet. But like back in the 90s, you had to like go to Walmart and buy the $20 Game Pro guide.
So you guys, would you guys both put this over Super Mario Brothers as a better video game?
Definitely.
Holy shit. Did
Yeah.
you know that it was invented by the very same man who came up with Mario Brothers?
Yes.
Yeah. Ah, damn it. I was like, I watched.
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Oh,
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, because I'm like, well, I watched Toys That Built America, so I was like, I wonder if they know. Yeah, you guys already know all the shit. But I don't know. I think if I were to, okay, if I wanted to get into it, what game do you recommend? A beginner's game?
I don't know. I'd almost just say go straight to like Breath of the Wild
Yeah, I would say
on the
just
Switch.
jump in with like the most modern games, probably.
It's all the same.
No,
No,
it's
it's
different, but
drastically different,
it's
but
very accessible, I would say.
okay.
Yeah.
And for the record, Zelda is a princess, is that what it is? And she's
Yeah.
always in another castle or what? That Mario Brothers guy really ran out of ideas quick. Gosh. Oh, here, I got a good question. Okay, so the Mario Brothers movie blew up. Could they make a Zelda movie? And who do you cast as Link or whatever
Oh.
the
I mean, there could be a
I think they
movie,
are
but
making one, I think.
are
But I don't know.
they?
They've been rumored to make one for years, it seems like.
Why are like video game movies always though like, all right, here's this video game world that you love with all these characters that have these interactions. Let's pull them out of their world, put them in our world, and now they have to deal with it. I don't understand why they do that at all.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Well, hey, who
Like,
could
if you were to
does
do it, you just have to keep it animated. Like, I don't want actors playing these people. Like, you can have a voice actor, but like, keep it animated. I don't want to see like Orlando Bloom playing Link. Like,
And like Link famously doesn't talk in the games.
oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
He just
So we,
has he's a
listener,
good
he just,
listener.
and that's very hard to find in any map. Oh man.
One big memory I have like playing the original NES one as a kid was like the just due to the limitations of the system, they couldn't really like have a lot of graphics, so like a wall that you could like bomb through to explode to get to a secret room looks exactly like every other wall. So you'd like literally just have to try like bombing it to see if it worked or not. But you could only carry like 16 or 20 bombs total. So you'd like get into like one of these like final dungeons and you'd like literally have to bomb every wall just to see if it works or not. And then you run out of bombs and like you have to like go back and find them. So I would always just like go into the dungeon, bomb every single wall, mark down which ones worked, and then like reset the game before saving it so that you get your bombs back and then you can go do it again. Because like it was such a pain.
Yeah, I remember doing all that stuff, and then like I really liked with that original game, Like I can go back and play it, and I remember the spots where like I have to bomb this rock because I know there's something in there, and I know I can play like the money making game if I go to this rock, where it's like gambling, where it's like you pay like 5 or 10 rupees, and if you get one out of the three that you can choose, you'll win like 50. Otherwise, you'll lose like 10 or 20, and you just go in and out of the same hole in there. Rock, and you just keep playing the same game until you either like have the limit of the coins you can get or you lose all your stuff.
Well,
And you were talking about Ocarina and Majora's Mask. Like I love Majora's Mask so much. Like just the tone of it, how dark it is, and like the angry moon and all like the different mask abilities and all that stuff. Like that one's definitely up there in games that I enjoy. Even if, yeah, like you mentioned, they're not as critically well regarded. In fact, I was
yeah.
wondering if they were going to do something crazy like that with Tears of the Kingdom, because it's like you already have the game engine for Breath of the Wild. What if you just like use all those assets and then just do like some crazy game mechanic like they did with Majora's? But I also understand why they did what they did, and I enjoyed Tears of the Kingdom a lot too.
Yeah. I was like, I love Majora's Mask a lot because it was like the same game engine, but the graphics were so much better, like the gameplay, the control seemed smoother. They filled the world with just a lot more stuff. So like there weren't like places that felt empty. There was always like little hidden things everywhere. Yeah, with I love that you love the Link to the Past on the Super Nintendo. That's like one of your all-time favorite games, if not your favorite game. Like when I first played it when I was a kid, it was super difficult and I could barely get through it, and it was like super frustrating to me because I had a friend who I borrowed it from and he loved the game and he had beaten the game, but I'm like trying to play it and it was so difficult for me to find anything. But then I played it again like a couple years later, and then I really like I was able to play through it and I was able to actually beat it. And then I loved it because then I bought it when I was like in my 20s. I rebought like a Super Nintendo to play like some of the old games I played playing growing up, and I just yeah, that game was phenomenal. And once I got a Switch and I was able to play on like the virtual console, or maybe it was on Wii U, played it again. Like it's one of the best games for Zelda for sure.
And one thing that's a little annoying about Zelda games is that they're always like one of the flagship launch titles for the new systems. And every like Nintendo system has some gimmick to it. So like with the Wii, it's like, okay, we're gonna force you to like swing the remote around to use a sword. Like with the Nintendo DS ones, like spoiler, but there's a part where like you have to like close the game, the Nintendo DS shut. And that like imprints like a stamp from like the top screen onto a map on the bottom screen. Like they use that as a mechanic in the game, or they make you like shout into the microphone in the system or something like that.
Is that the game that was like a link between worlds or something? Where you're
No,
like.
there's that one too. No, this was the Phantom Hourglass or Spirit
Okay, I never
Tracks,
played that
one
one.
of those on the DS. A Link Between Worlds is awesome though. That's on the 3DS. That one borrows a lot from the Super Nintendo one.
Yeah, I really like that game.
Can you guys come up with a clever segue involving the Legend of Zelda games? That's a mini game for you.
Let's play our ocarina. Oh yeah, there you go. Good sound effects.
All
Oh,
right.
so like in all the Zelda games, you can always play the ocarina and then you'll warp to a different part of the world. Or you can slow down time or speed up time.
Oh, yeah, there's always like a musical instrument aspect to them.
An ocarina? Is it like a pipe or something?
It's like a flute.
Yeah. A flute. Okay. Oh man, I'm thinking pipes, motherfucker. All right, well, that's last topic, I believe, right?
Yeah, could be. I love record stores. So I've been collecting music on vinyl for, I don't know, like something like 10 years now. But while I will buy records online if it's like, you know, something I'm desperate to get my hands on and it's pretty rare, but for the vast majority of the stuff, I really just enjoy going to the record shop and, like, you know, looking through the new arrivals, looking through the sections to see if they have what I'm looking for. Trying to find like the bargain, you know, like, okay, yeah, I've seen this before for, you know, like $25. Here they have it for, you know, $31. I'm not going to buy this copy. And just, you know, like, even, you know, beyond just, I like the experience of having like the records. It's like the large size album art and all that stuff. But just, going to a record store is just an experience I really enjoy. And that's another thing I like to do when I travel is like, what are the really cool record stores that people recommend, and check that out. And they'll have every year there's like a record store day where a bunch of bands release like special edition records that, you know, there's a limited number of them made, and they'll sell them that day. And then, you know, when they run out, they run out. And you when you check out at the store, like, that's one of the few places where I don't dread the experience with the customer service person. And, you know, they'll actually usually have good conversations, like, oh yeah, I really like that record. Have you heard of such and such other related band? Like, what do you think of them? And, you know, that's always fun to chat about. And just typically, you know, good vibes and all that stuff.
So there's no like high fidelity where they're like judging you on your
I
tastes and stuff.
mean, def very possibly yes, but at least nobody I've seen has told me how bad my taste is.
Well, I was just gonna say that I haven't been in a record store in a while, but I used to have a lot of vinyls. I love vinyl. I could probably talk more about that. I'll just say that the sound is awesome. I grew up with Star Wars, the soundtrack, and Chipmunks, Christmas Carol. And yeah, I just had that like on all the time. And yeah, I had to get, or did I get rid of my record player? It broke. I think it broke because it was pretty cheap. So eventually I did sell my records. I have a Abbey Road right over there. I'm looking at that. I forget that it's kind of like a little bit of artwork that I like to see. But yeah, I need to go to re more record places. I went to one in Portland, but they're all cool. Like there's not no record stores really stood out, and yeah, they're fine.
I really like record stores, but it's one of those things where I don't go to enough. And like, I live near Tulsa, and I know there's a couple record stores there. There's like two good record stores, and I'm like, I really need to go there because I always just find myself buying stuff online, and that's like super unsatisfying because like there's I've been like we have a couple like used like not like a pawn shop, but like just a used like antique stores that have like old record collections, and they have like a couple hundred records and just crates. So I just love just sitting back there and just paging through, just looking at like old records from the 70s and 80s. And like I haven't heard of like 90% of the artists, but it's, you know, every once in a while then you see something that you recognize and you're like, oh, okay, that's interesting. It's a lot of fun. I did go to like a used bookstore and used record store, and they had a lot of really good stuff there, like Electric Light Orchestra. I got their greatest hits album there. And then I got like Sgt. Pepper from the Beatles. Yeah, it's something I do need to do is start going to record stores more for sure.
Yeah, I love the thrill of the hunt where, like there's like a specific album or, a bunch of albums you're looking for, and you go to store after store and you strike out, and then you go to the last one and it's sitting there right under the letter it's supposed to be under, waiting for you.
Yeah, like with I don't have a big collection, but there's older bands that like I really love, and I'm like, I want to at least have one album by that band. So it's like I want to have at least one Metallica album. And if I'm gonna have one Metallica album, what album is that gonna be? Is it gonna be Master of Puppets? Is it gonna be, Ride the Lightning? Or like I really want to get like a David Bowie album. I would love to get a David Bowie album. It's like which album I don't know. I'm not even sure which album of David Bowie's I'd want, but
The
with like
aforementioned
total
Ziggy Stardust.
it's one of those things where it's like if you go to the store and you're like, oh, they got four options, and it's like, okay, then I'll look at the four and I'll be like, okay, this is the one I'm going with.
And also, especially because the vinyls are so big, the artwork just pops more.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to look at that. CDs, it's just this tiny little thing. And then worst is, MP3 online, a little thumbnail you could look at or whatever. That, but to have that big piece of artwork is so cool.
Yeah, and then like especially when they like open with a gatefold and there's like all these images on the inside, or some of them come with booklets and all this stuff.
Well, should we break a record and or a record skip
Oh.
and end the show? Like, subscribe, comment. This was a Few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud
John Namath.
and David Louder.